Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
All right, so like we said, so we want to get going. My wife, I want her, you guys know she just wrote a book.
Yes.
Becoming the One.
I have copies in the back.
That's right.
$12.
And it's excellent. This act is phenomenal. And we wanted to talk about what are the things.
Yes.
When you're single, you know, people treat like being single is like some disease or something.
It's
like,
and it's not.
When they talk about I'm single, it's like they're ashamed to say that. And I think we've created, I really believe that in today's world, we've kind of like started idolizing marriage and relationships a bit. I know people who rush into marriage and when they're single and believe that, you know, their biological time clocks are clicking, or, you know, the cultural expectations, depending on what family lineage you come from or culture you come from, is like when you reach a certain age, everybody starts pressuring you, like, when are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? And so we kind of rush people or force people into a situation that they're not prepared for. And, you know, marriage, you don't get prepared for marriage just by a wedding. You know, a wedding doesn't prepare you for marriage. Or just because you have a wedding doesn't mean you're ready for marriage. And so marriage requires preparation. It requires a lot of due diligence. And so we want to talk about, we're going to give you some keys on what are some of the, we got six things that we believe that you ought to do while you're single to prepare for the next step. Right? So before we get into that, my wife is going to start off with something from a portion of her book. She's going to read it to you guys, and then we're going to dig deeper.
Okay.
So what page is that in your...
Page 21.
Okay.
Heart mended. A mended heart is the doorway towards forgiveness and opportunity. I'll never forget the day that I sat in my bedroom, and I just began to cry out to the Lord. I confessed all my sins to Him. I apologized for neglecting Him. I apologize for not placing Him, for placing Him second and replacing Him with other gods, people. I repented for being so far from Him.
How old are you, sorry, right there?
Here?
Yeah.
27? 20, this was like a little bit before I met you, maybe like 27, 28. I told the Lord, from this day forward, I will never get into another relationship until You've given me the release to do so. I didn't limit my commitment to relationships to just the opposite sex. I was also committing this to friendships as well. I meant every word that I had prayed that night. As I surrendered, there were some losses. I lost friends, some good friends. Yet in the process of me growing closer to God, I knew I would have to be willing to surrender and lose in order to gain. The loss is never easy, but it is sometimes necessary. If you expect and want more of God and His divine plan for your life, you have to be willing to let go of yourself in order to gain and walk into your future. I began to seek God, and I truly wanted to be transformed. What was so amazing about my process of preparation was that I wasn't seeking God for a companion or a husband. I was seeking God because I wanted a better relationship with Him. I wanted to build a better relationship with my Heavenly Father, to become grounded, to become a better Christian, a better leader. I just wanted to be better. I knew that only God could fill the void and empty places in my life. I was willing to allow God to do whatever He needed to do so that I could experience His unconditional love. Last paragraph. God's love is far greater than the love of any companion or friend. His love is everlasting. He laid down His life so that we could experience true love. Sacrificial love, agape love. God's love is so amazing that although we were sinners and neglected Him, He still loved us. He knew we would be unfaithful, but yet, while we were sinners, He still died. He embraced sin, so that we could live sinless. God demonstrates his love for us. God demonstrated his love for us while we were sinners. Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. It was during my quiet time that I began to understand, in order for my heart to be mended, I first needed to understand that I am forgiven, and therefore I can forgive. All right, so what was that all about? That was about me in my singleness getting to a place where I had totally surrendered my life to God. I made a decision after a last breakup that I didn't want to do it anymore. The heart, you get yourself all tied up to people that God has never ordained you to be with. He's never called you to. And then when it doesn't work out, you end up with a broken heart. And then we then look to God to fix the pieces and to put the pieces back together when he never really called us to those people. So I knew from that day that I wasn't going to pursue anything unless it was God, unless God had revealed to me that it was okay for me to move forward. And even with that, you have to go through a process. And I think so many of us are afraid to be alone. We want companionship. I say all the time that God's desire is for us to have companionship. I don't believe that. Some people say that God has called me to, you know, be single for the rest of my life. I personally, and, you know, to each his own, I personally do not believe that. Because if we look at the Bible, in the beginning, when God created Adam, he said that he was lonely and he needed a helpmate, right? So he gave from his own flesh, he created Eve. That alone tells us that God doesn't desire for us to be by ourselves, right? But it also shows us that he's the one that wants to bring it together, right? So just like he did it for Adam and Eve, he wants to do it in our lives as well. And although he's given us the choice, right? He's given man the choice to choose. The Bible says that a man that findeth a wife findeth good thing and finds favor in the Lord. So it is the man's responsibility to choose. And as women, as we prepare, we will know if that is the person that God has for us. Do they line up with your purpose? Right? So God has given us a purpose. He's given each and every one of us a purpose, a job to do, something to do on this earth for him to bless and touch the lives of people. So does that companion line up with the purpose that God has given you? And sometimes that's a really good indicator whether or not this is the person for you. And I'll never forget, like, when Vernell and I first met, it wasn't, of course we was attracted to each other, all that stuff is good, but it was the fact that we both had the desire to do the same thing. We were both, like, having great conversations about creating this nonprofit. And that was in his heart, and that was in my heart. And that was literally what connected us. And we saw that there was purpose. So even before there was a relationship, right, there was a friendship, and there was purpose. We knew that, hey, there's something that God has put in you that's going to help me to get to my destiny, and there's something that God has put in me that's going to help you to get to your destiny. I don't want to just keep talking.
Bounce back.
I can, though.
Yeah.
You do get to do this.
But I think what she said is so important about the fact that I believe the why of a relationship is so important. Like, why are you interested in this person? Or why are you going to get into a relationship? I think it's so important that we ask ourselves that question. And one of the things that she mentioned was the fact that there should be a purpose or a vision that both you guys see yourselves pursuing. And one of the things that I told my wife and I started sharing with the guys is this. A man should be married before he meets his wife. What I mean by that? A man should be married to a vision before he marries a wife. Why? Because a wife has to now be a helpmeet for the vision that that man has. So if a man does not have a vision, a purpose that he's working towards, where are you going? How are you supporting? What needs are you helping him meet? Right? So a man must be married to a vision. Then he marries a woman who comes alongside to help him with that vision.
And even when you think about that, if a man doesn't have a vision and the woman has a vision, there becomes a lot of friction.
That's right.
Because then the roles have reversed. So now it seems like the woman is leading and the man is following. And just by nature, God has created men to lead, right? The Bible says that as a man follows Christ or follows God, the woman shall follow her husband as he follows Christ. So if a man doesn't have a vision, where are we going? Where are you leading me to? So then when a woman has a vision and a man doesn't, then it begins, there's a struggle there.
Yeah.
Because a man by nature is like, you're not leading me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the man. This is my, I'm the man of the house. But if you have no vision,
right,
then where are we going?
And just to add on top of that, ladies, a man that's married to a vision is already showing signs of commitment.
Yes, Jesus. That's
He's already showing signs of devotion. So if he can be committed and focused and devoted to a vision, he can be committed and focused and devoted to you. But if he has nothing that he's working towards, nothing that he's living for, when he gets with you, guess what's going to happen?
Even think about Adam, how God gave him dominion over the garden.
Yeah.
So he had, that was his vision, that was his purpose,
exactly.
Right?
God gave him purpose before he gave him a woman.
Before he gave him a woman. Before the woman even came, there was his purpose. He was laying the foundation down for his wife. So if there's no purpose, if there's no foundation, what am I walking into? And that's why there's an unsettling. When you get into a relationship or when you marry a person and you realize, like, geez, as women, like, geez, this person has no vision. There's no foundation for us. And I'm not talking about just a job or just money. Because even with those things, without purpose, there's an emptiness. There's a void that you fit, that you can feel, that you can sense. So you can have, why do you think, like, there's people in this world that has millions and billions of dollars and they're just chasing their tails? Because they have no purpose. They have no vision.
That's right. It's good, right? So ladies, when you meet a man, you should ask him, what is your vision?
What's your vision? What's your plan?
What's your plan? What's your purpose? What are you pursuing? You see, because that now lets you know, or if you're to help me, if he has a vision that you feel like you can connect to, you feel like you personally have a grace for supporting, then you can come into alignment with him. But if you don't see, if he's going somewhere that you have no expectations or desire to go, then that means that's probably not the guy for you. So vision is so important. So where does vision come from? God. So now, a man has to know God, number one, has a vision from God, number two, number three, then he can find a wife that will come alongside and help him. A woman now must be married to God to trust that whoever God brings to in her life, because remember, the man finds the wife, right?
Yes.
So a man has to find you. So now, you have to trust God that he will bring the right person your way. Number two, when you see vision that you feel like you can help meet the need for, then you come alongside that man. And then number three, you marry him. So you got to be married three times, ladies. Right? You got to be committed to God, committed to a man, and then you have to be committed to his vision. If you're not willing to... You can't ignore his vision.
Yes.
You can't ignore a man's vision.
You can't ignore
his passions. You can't be like, well, that's his vision. Well, I would just marry him.
Yes.
No, because he's married to a vision. That's what he's going after. If you're setting yourself for disappointment, setting yourself up for failure, because now you're trying to detach him from the very thing God is giving him a purpose and a drive for. Not only is vision important for just the sanctity of the marriage, but for provision. Provision follows vision. So the man's his ability to provide for his family is going to come from the vision that God has given him to work for. So if you detach him from his vision, there goes the provision. There goes the money. Money follows vision. Do you understand that? So you got to allow a man, know what a man's vision is, support him to do what he's called to do, and not try to pull him away from that. Because once you get him distracted from purpose, you'll be distracted from you.
That is, no, just to be a little transparent, when my husband first started the church, I did not want to start a church.
That's right.
Like, at all. I was like, why? Like, I understood his heart. He had been teaching the Monday nights for, at that time, maybe 5-6 years. And it was just, you know, kind of hit the glass ceiling. And he was sort of trying to transition out of that. And I understood his heart. And he said to me one summer, August, I remember, he said, God is calling me to pastor full time. And I was like, oh, really? I was like, okay. He was like, I think we should talk about it. And I was like, no, not really, because I don't really feel that in my spirit that you should that you should start a church. And then when he said that he was leaving his job to go full time, that really took us on a whirlwind. Like, seriously, like, all jokes aside, that was like one of the hardest times in my life. I was so frustrated. I'm like, okay, I kind of got past the thing of you being a pastor. All right, well, you know, if that's what God is calling you to do, you know, I guess I'll try to help. But now he comes back with another blow. So you're going to leave your full-time job in the DOE to become a full-time pastor? It didn't make sense. And the crazy thing is, it made so much sense, but I didn't want to receive it.
You didn't want to submit.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
He's right.
The funny. See, that's the problem.
He's right.
That's what happens to vision. Because a woman has to submit to a man's vision.
That was hard.
That's what you're submitting to. You're submitting to the man and the vision that God has given him. If it's not a vision you can't submit to, you can't remain with it.
But mind you, I already knew that this was coming.
Right.
So God tried to prepare me.
Yeah.
Preparation is key. If we can prepare ourselves, if we can listen and take heed to the voice of God, then it would alleviate and eliminate a lot of heartache and hurt and pain and frustration and aggravation.
But he already prepared you.
He did. But I didn't want to submit to that. I'm going to be honest. I didn't want to submit to my husband being a full-time pastor. I didn't.
Why?
And because to me that I like stability. Like, I like knowing that things are stable. We both have we both have our benefits. You know, there's two incomes. Like, that's just me. And this is how I met him. I met him teaching. But then God reminded me of something. And we were talking about this the other night. When my husband proposed, he had resigned from the DOE. Vernon's resigned at least 3 times. No, I'm serious. Like, at least 3 times. So during the season when we actually were engaged, he resigned from the DOE, like, right after he proposed, or right before. Right before. I'm like, this guy ain't serious. This guy's a joker. He can't be serious. We're talking about getting married, and he's resigning from his job? How does that make sense? It didn't make sense to me at all. But I knew now when you think about it, it was God trying to prepare me again. Like, this is going to happen again, so prepare yourself. But I did. And I think one of the reasons why, I think he had like a little thing he was doing on the side with the DOE. I knew he was a musician. So I'm like, all right, there's some sort of income coming
in. I got
streams.
Don't worry about it.
There's at the time,
where all my money coming from.
Exactly. But now I do. Right? But we say that jokingly, but going back to the state of preparation and vision, when God is giving you a vision, when God is preparing you for something, we've got to take heed. God prepares us to say no. He prepares us to say no too. And so we don't always do that because it looks nice, because other people are getting married, because we've been sitting and waiting, because we feel like it's our turn, because, you know, our biological clocks are ticking, right? Because, you know, our family, like you already mentioned, is putting pressure on us to get married. When are you going to get married? You're hitting 30, you're hitting 35, you haven't had any kids yet. You can't allow the things of this world, right? The things of this world to move and shake you from the purpose that God has given you. You've got to stand firm in your singleness. You've got to stand firm and know that, listen, I know what God has spoken to me. I know the promises of the Lord. It doesn't matter what age I am. It's coming. He promised me and it's coming, right? So although that wait, right? And I don't like to say wait, because waiting is like, oh, waiting. When's the bus coming? I'm waiting. But when you prepare yourself, there's a difference. Because yet while you're waiting for God to bring you, some, to send him, or to sit, or show or reveal her to you, you're getting busy. You're busy in the things of God. You're making yourself better. You're making yourself better for the wife that you're going to be. You're making yourself better for the man, the husband, the father that you're going to be. So although in the wait, there should be preparation so that when it comes, you're ready. So many times we see people that they get so caught up, and I'm often, and I say this a lot because I talk about it even in the book. We're often reminded about the five foolish women and the five wise, right? The five foolish got so caught up with the thought of the coming that they failed to prepare. They had no oil. They had nothing. While the five wise, they prepared. They went out. They got their oil. So when he came, they were ready, right? And we don't want to miss that. And that's even in the state of preparation where you are as a single person. Don't get so caught up with Ebony, the magazine, right? And we see these couples on magazines and what's the other, Black Essence, right? And we see these wonderful families or just social media. Don't get caught up in those things. If you try to live your life according to social media, you're going to make yourself crazy. You're going to make yourself crazy. You've got to understand what God has purposed for you and stand on that. And don't try to live your life according to what other people are. Okay, your friend got engaged. Great. Let's be happy for her. Let's celebrate her. Because guess what? Your time is coming. If you prepare and if you give yourself totally over to God, he will bless you. The Bible says that God will give us the desires of our hearts. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows what you've been praying. He knows what you've been fasting for. You don't have to rush the process. Because sometimes we rush, and we rush into a disaster. Exactly. Say it again, Eddie. It's a disaster. And we wish that we would have never made that choice, that we would have never made that decision. I always say it was all good just a week ago, right? So when you're dating and when you're going out and everything's good and there's no responsibility to check in and you're not living together and you're just meeting up and having fun, those are the people present their representatives sometimes, right? So in the beginning, there's the representative. We don't really know who this person is. But that's why it's so important to have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all truth. Right. So there's some things, if you are really preparing yourself, there's some things that you can pick up on. That even before you make that decision, your spirit has already picked up on it. And you don't end up in a disastrous situation, right? If we take heed to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, discernment, is important in this process. So kind of moving, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit and you're single, you have to ask God for the Holy Spirit. You cannot move forward in this walk of singleness until you ask God for the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that is going to give you discernment to say yay or nay. Everything that glitters is not gold.
That's right.
Is not gold.
Come on. All right. All right, guys, so take out your pens.
6 points.
We're going to give you 6 points to do when you're single. And out of the six, one of them have radically transformed my life, and I believe is what prepared me to be ready for marriage. So first thing, number one, what to do when you're single. Have healthy friendships. Have healthy friendships. Notice I said plural. So you want to be able to have at least, you don't need a lot of friends, but you should have at least three to four friends that you have healthy relationships with, male, female. And it's important that you do that because of the fact that the Bible tells us this, there's no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his, what, friends. Which means that the cornerstone of all relationships is friendship. Notice the Bible didn't say a man will lay down his life for his wife. A man will lay down his life for a woman or his mother. A man will lay down his life for his
friends.
Friend.
Men that don't have friends. Yeah. Yeah, it's a little scary. Because guys like to be around guys.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, you don't have to have a lot of friends, but you need to have somebody that you can call, like, hey bro, this is the situation.
Yeah.
This is what I'm dealing with. Someone to hold you accountable, right? You need someone to hold you accountable.
Yeah, so definitely. Friendship is the cornerstone of marriage, the cornerstone of any healthy relationship. And so you actually work on being a good partner, a good wife, a good husband through friendship. Mm-hmm. Okay? So develop healthy friendships. That's how you practice marriage.
Number two, settle any unresolved feelings inside towards your parents. And that was big for me. That was really
key, big key, guys, right here. Settle any unresolved feelings you have inside towards your parents. What do we mean by that?
Yes.
A dad who wasn't in your life and you never forgave him.
Yes.
Or you never saw clarity as to why your parents divorced.
Yes.
And you go through life just mad at your dad for not being here. You're mad at your parents. But then you've never come to resolve what happened. How many of you can relate to that? How many of you can relate to that? All right. What happened to your parents? Why didn't they stay together? Why didn't this relationship work? All right. Seek clarity on that. Because what's going to happen is those emotions linger on the inside of you. Then when you get into relationships, what's happening at a subconscious level is that you are interpreting the situation just like what happened to your parents. And you wonder why your relationships keep falling apart. You wonder why it seems like you're repeating cycles in your life. It's because at a subconscious level, at a heart level, you are interpreting things according to what happened to your mom, what happened to your dad. And then you begin to put off, actually good things can start happening, and you begin to interpret it as negative.
Yeah.
There was actually someone that I know right now who's about to get married. And one of the things that when she first came around me, came around us, she was actually speaking about the fact that she had the same situation. Her dad wasn't in her life, was always angry at the dad, never really had a relationship with him. And then shortly after she got connected to us, her dad called out the blue, said that she wanted to speak to her. She didn't want to speak to him at first. I said, you need to go and speak to him and see what, I think there was a family reunion going on, he invited her and all this stuff. She didn't want to go. I said, you need to go and speak to him. Long story short, she did. What she thought was going to be a disaster turned out to be the most wonderful thing. Their relationship was rekindled after that. It was probably about 9 to 12 months after that, and she ended up getting engaged. And she came out of a long relationship right around that same time. And I believe that what allowed her to get into this relationship and now move forward into this next step was the fact that she was able to resolve the feelings that she had about her dad not being in her life. You get what I'm saying? So that's what happens, guys, when you get around, you get connected to a woman, and then it's like nothing is ever enough. It's like you never can seem to make them happy enough, or they never seem to be satisfied enough. They get angry when you don't show up on 1 minute late, 2 minute late, because all these things that is going on in the inside of them.
It's very true.
That a father who wasn't there or a parent who wasn't there, and they got these unrealistic expectations for you.
Yep.
And so both men and women, you want to be able to, I'm telling you, this is probably the most important thing for you guys. Deal with that. Find out what happened in your parents' relationship, because you are a byproduct of your parents,
yes,
whether you want to accept it or not.
Or not. Your husband is not your father. He's not.
That's right.
Your wife is not your mother. So you cannot expect, no, I'm serious, because sometimes you, especially when your father's not around or your mom's not around, you go into marriage thinking that your husband is going to be like your father, like, sort of like that.
You mean to make up?
Yeah, for, to make up for what your father did not do. And he can't, because that's not his role. He's your husband. And even for men, you may have had, your mom may have, you know, ironed all your clothes, cooked every meal, coddled you, babied you. But your wife is not your mother. She's your wife. She's your helpmate. She's not your slave. Right? No, I'm serious. No, I'm serious. It's true. Like, when you come into, especially in the 21st century, guys, like, women, we are in boardrooms. We have jobs. We have, you know, we're teachers. We're doctors. We're lawyers. We're police officers. Like, we have responsibility, right? And I do believe we're CEOs. Like, we have responsibilities, right? So when you get married, especially when you're marrying a 21st century woman, right, who is motivated, a millennial, right, who is motivated, you've got to understand what you're walking into, that this is now 50-50. So some nights I may cook, I might not. Some nights you may cook. And some nights we may order out, and that is okay. It's okay. And one of the things, like, even for Vernell and I, Vernell, when we first got married, I think because his mom was always, like, really good with, like, making sure, like, finances, and she was, like, that person balancing the checkbook and yada, yada, yada. But the example that I was provided with was my grandfather. And my grandfather just basically took care of everything. My grandmother didn't really have to worry about anything. He would go grocery shopping Saturday morning religiously, right? My grandmother would make her list of the things that she wanted and give it to him, and he would go do it. He would pay the mortgage. So when we came into a relationship, so when we came into our marriage, he had one expectation that I was gonna balance the checkbook, and I had the expectation that he would balance the checkbook, right? But that's something that we didn't talk about, right? And then we took our experience and our family history and what we've seen as children and brought that into our marriage, right? And who knows? In some marriages, it may work that the man balances the checkbook and then the wife, or the wife balances the checkbook. But your point being is that you've got to communicate. You've got to figure out what works for you. And I said that although that's more of a marriage issue, but as a single person, you've got to ask yourself, like, what role do I want to play in that? You've got to ask yourself a lot of questions, right? You've got to have conversations with yourself. You've got to be real with yourself. Because if you're not real with yourself and your expectations, when you meet that person, when you meet the one, everything's going to be cloudy because no one's being honest. And then when you get married, then all the honesty comes out. And then we're all in our feelings. But if you're honest with yourself first, if you have these real conversations with yourself first, then you know exactly what it is that you want. And you know exactly what it is you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. That's good. All right. Number three. We almost out of time. Number three. Fall in love with purpose before a person. fall in love with a purpose before a person. And this is something that's huge because what I've seen is, let's just say two people get married and we're really living towards any real major goals, any main vision. And then what happens is one person in the marriage all of a sudden finds this passion to pursue something that the spouse, then is like, well, why are you trying to go back to school? Well, I want to pursue this area, but that's not what we talked about before we got married. And so now that becomes it. That's not Shanique's case. But but what happens is when you come into a marriage and you guys are not already driven towards specific goals and passions in life, when one person decides to go after something, now that's an entire adjustment for their entire marriage. You know, and then now is that something that you're willing to adjust your life for? You know, let's just say somebody says, hey, I always wanted to be in the military. It's like, well, if you go in the military, you got to go on a base somewhere. Well, I think we can all move and go to the base and live together. But I don't want to move. I want to stay here in New York.
We never
spoke about that. And it might have been a dream or desire. Like, for example, honestly, I don't blame my wife for not fully submitting with the pastoring thing at first. Because I used to say, I don't want to do this. I was being obedient to God. But deep down inside, I knew it was coming. So I was kind of like lying to myself at the same time. I knew I would eventually pastor. But I was saying that's not what I would personally have wanted. But I knew it was going to happen. So I should have been already sowing that seed inside of her. Saying, you know, one day I'm going to pastor. One day I'm going to start a church. You know what I mean? Although Hungry for God was already functioning and, you know, people were already calling me pastor, you know, I should have said that, you know, I'm going to pastor. And she would have been prepared before I actually told her that. You know what I'm saying? But it's so important, people of God, that you get busy in your God-given work and your God-given assignment. And what happens is, and when you fall in love with what you're called to do and you love what you do and you do what you love, when a person meets you, they already know what you're about.
Choice but to assist. If they're there for you and if this is the will of God, then they're going to help you.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to help you fulfill your purpose and your passion.
All right. So almost done. Three more things. Number four.
Love yourself. Know yourself.
Yeah. Love yourself. That sounds simple, but it's so important that you get that. No man or no woman is going to make you happy. All right. If you're not happy before you get with them, so don't get with somebody because you want somebody to make you happy. You have to be happy by yourself. Okay. Marriages are two wholes complementing each other, not two wholes trying to fill each other.
Yes.
It's two wholes complementing each other.
Which means you need to be whole.
So you must be whole before, not broken, and you're trying to get somebody to come in. No, you're two wholes complementing each other, and not two holes that are empty and void trying to fill each other. Okay? You are a whole coming into a relationship, and so now it's not 50-50, right? It's 100-100. Not 50-50, 100-100. You're bringing your whole self. Amen. Your whole self. You're dealing with those wounds that you got going on inside your soul. We talked about last week. And then you come together and then you complement each other. Amen. And we just make ourselves better. Amen.
Yes.
I'm a movement by myself.
Yes.
But I'm a force.
We're together.
Come on, Prophet Neil.
You're not blessing. Come on, stop. Stop it.
Two more.
Stay completely single until you're ready. Completely single.
Say that again.
Completely single until you're ready.
No side pieces.
No side pieces. He wrote in his notes.
Side salads.
No side pieces. No. What? Do you know what you just said?
Side
I don't
salads.
Think you do. No friends with benefits. He said, you can't find Mr. That's good. You can't find Mr. Right if you're in bed with Mr. Wrong. You cannot find Mr. Right if you're in bed with Mr. Wrong. No cuddle buddies. No buddies you just cuddle with on a Saturday night. Because we know that those things lead to other things, right? And we want to...
But it's true. You become still distracted, right?
Cuffing. What's cuffing?
Cuffing. Oh, Shanique.
Oh, sorry. Like... No, because I was hearing like a lot of different things Friday night that I've never heard of. Oh, I know cuffing. Sorry. Had to go back. That's like 10 years old.
All right, but stay completely single.
Stay completely single.
Be single. Nobody else you messing around with.
One of the things about being completely single, I always say this. When you're really trying to... find, or you want to make yourself of women, you want to make yourself available for the one, and men, you want to find the one. You can't do that when you have other voices and you're communicating.
Exactly.
Things are not clear. You can't really hear if this person is calling your phone and then you're going out with this person and then you're going out with that person. There's no clarity there because you're so distracted.
Yeah.
So if you really, really desire for God to bless you, you've got to live a life of singleness for a little while. And it's okay. I promise you, you won't die. I thought I was going to, but you won't. And you really need that. You need that clarity of being able to just get your thoughts together, being able to figure out exactly what it is that you want. And you can't do that while you're dating. You can't be single and dating. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I'm single, but I'm dating. No. Single means single.
That's right.
That's it. I'm not dating. I'm not looking for anybody right now. I am focusing on me. I'm preparing myself for the one that God would have for me to be with.
That's right.
Right?
So that means if you have friends, you get to hang out with your friends.
Yes.
And not hang out with somebody that really has feelings for you, and you're just going out on dates with them.
Because you're hungry.
Because you're hungry, right? So it could be...
No hungry dates, guys. Hungry dates can get you into trouble.
Go out with your friends.
I know. Go out with your girlfriend. Jeez. Go to McDonald's and let that sit in.
Right? We did this last year.
Really,
it's helped a few people. Take out your phones. Is anybody in your phone right now? Right now, it's a day of reckoning.
Yes.
If there's anybody in your phone right now...
That you should delete.
A side salad. A side piece.
Can you stop saying that?
And you want to get them out your phone. All right. Come on, delete
that
them.
That just sounds so creepy.
Delete them.
No, seriously, guys. If there's someone, if you really desire to prepare yourself for the one, right? And again, the one is not necessarily about, oh, this one perfect person that's going to come along. No, the one is about you. You be that perfect person first. Be what it is that you are requiring, right? So I said this last year, and I'm going to say it again. One of the things that really irritates me is a person that says, oh, you know, the person that I want to be with, they have to have this, and they have to have a job and an apartment or a house and a car and all of these things. And you're watching Jerry Springer every day. Like, you have no, and you're sleeping on your mother's couch. And you're taking a bus.
Right.
You have nothing going for yourself. And I'm serious.
Right.
You can't expect, and you can't expect to draw, right, this type of person if that's not who you are, right? So you've got to be exactly what it is that you are looking for. So work on you first.
Right.
If your desire is to be with a billionaire, right? And not to, God will do it. God will, I believe he will. But even in that, you don't have to be a billionaire, but you can look like a billionaire. You can talk like a billionaire. So that when God brings you, the Bible says that your gifts shall make room for you and set you before great men. So when God brings you before great men, they won't know that you have $2 in your account. Because you look like a billionaire, you're talking like a billionaire. But honestly, seriously, you've got to be exactly what it is that you're looking for. If you're broken, guess what you're going to attract? Broken. And broke, Vernell said. He said broken and... you're on the road today? He said broken and broke, right? And that goes for women as...
Bad combination.
Okay, we gotta end. Our last point. Go ahead, babe.
That was real simple. During your singleness, learn more about God's love.
Yes.
Learn about God's love. Go in the Word and read how the Bible describes God's love. Personalize it, experience it, pray into it, live, learn to live out of that. And I'm telling you, the more you embody this grace and the mercy and the love of God towards you, the unconditional love, the forgiveness of God in your own life, you become more gracious. You become more approachable. You become more lovable. You hear what I just said?
Yes.
You know, some people are just not easy to love. You have to be lovable.
Like,
you know,
lemon and vinegar.
Yeah, it's like, and the more gracious, the more kind, the more patient you are, it makes it easy for people to love you.
And that has to be intentional. You have to intentionally think, like, all right, I can spaz right now, right? Because these are the conversations that I have with myself. Like, I can act crazy, but then what is that going, like, you draw more bees with honey, right? So if you act silly and out of character, and you're not displaying the love of God, then, like, what point are you trying to make, right? So let's remember to be sweet, especially ladies. If you are looking or you desire for God to bring someone your way, don't have the face all the time, because men are not going to be attracted to.
That's right.
Right? Smile, right? Every guy that says hello, have a nice day, how are you? He's not hitting on you. Some men are just respectful, right? My husband says hello, good morning to women all the time. Right. He's not hitting on them. Right. He's just being respectful.
That's right.
Right? So don't automatically assume that, oh, over here. Don't automatically assume because someone says hello or good evening or how are you, that he's trying to hit on you. Because even with that face, you might miss your blessing. Because he might be the one, and you just, he, or brother or cousin, exactly. So those are our 6 points. I'm going to just say them. Nope, I'm going to say them one more time. Sorry, guys.
All right, good. So what's number one?
Number one is have healthy friendships. Right? Number two, settle any unresolved feelings and sides towards your parents and siblings. Number three, fall in love with purpose before a person. Number four, love yourself, know yourself. That comes through intimate time alone, right? You've got to spend time with yourself. It's okay to go to the movies by yourself. It's okay to go to dinner by yourself. It's okay to go shopping by yourself. Some of my best times and best moments spent were by myself. Stay completely single until you're ready. So no cuddle buddies, no side pieces, no friends with benefits. And learn about God's love. His love is unconditional.
Yes.
His love does not compare to any other, to your mother, to your father. God loves us, and he wants us to find love. He desires for us to be loved.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so that's it, family. Let's give God a round of applause. Let's all stand. We're going to pray.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.